Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A guy who, on at least his social media account, has a picture of himself with a crown, so I guess you can call him King Carton. Returned to WFA. Yeah. What's up, Craigie?
What's good? What's good? What's good? The Mets are hot.
Yeah, the Mets are hot. Huge series.
I mean, they're not the Yankees, but the Mets are hot.
You say you're Mets fan again?
Will you talk about this series tomorrow morning?
No, I won't.
Yeah. Do you guys even do baseball?
From time to time, the Yankees, the Shohei thing the other night, the 50-50, that thing. We talked about that.
You mean the 6-for-6, 3 home runs, stolen bases, that little thing.
Yeah, I still think Judge is better. But
he is.
Yeah, but, you know, look, it's a great story. No.
Now, why are you here? Are you trying to work your way into the booth for the Yankee postseason?
Already did that. Look, I had to turn them down. It was a hard thing to do, but I thought John really deserved the opportunity.
No. Uh-huh.
I'm here because I had to be interviewed for the Hall of Fame, which is coming up this luncheon. I'm a New York State Broadcasting Hall of Famer. Perhaps you've heard.
No, I did not.
Not only did we hear, we saw your tweets telling us that you were in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, as you should be.
Congrats.
It's my bio now.
Yes.
Voice of the Yankees.
Yeah.
New York State Broadcasting Hall of Famer.
When is the actual ceremony?
It's October 23rd at the Rainbow Room.
Oh, nice.
So they came in today to do some filming. Like they're going to, I guess, play a little 2-minute thing about.
Who are you going in with? Is it a good class or a weak class? Because Eli Hall of Fame class a little weak.
Eli shouldn't get in first ballot.
I agree with you.
Come on.
He's going to, but he shouldn't.
Totally agree.
The only guy I personally know was the longtime voice of the Bills, a guy named John Murphy.
Okay.
John Murphy took over for a legend in Buffalo, a guy named Van Miller, who is like the Jim Kelly era Bills and before that. The other broadcasters I'm not familiar with, but I'm sure they're wonderful.
Is Boomer going to show up and support you that
night? Yes. Yeah, that's right. Churnoff's going. Boomer's going.
Tommy's going. Lou Gowers going.
McMonagle, Evan.
Oh, really? Whole crew.
Why all those guys? Because they worked with you on the show?
I guess.
Is Francesa going to support you?
Yeah, he's introducing me. It's going to be great.
No, he's not going.
One thing I'm learning about Boomer here, anybody that he works with goes into the Hall of Fame. What about Boomer himself? Like, Gio went into the Suffolk County Hall of Fame. He was saying that again with Keith Hernandez, I guess. You're going to the Hall of Fame. Boomer himself, 5 years ago,
Boomer was inducted into this New York State Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not going to lie to you, I was like, it should have been Boomer and Carton. His New York success was all based on me, as you know.
As we heard a million times. I've heard him say this a million times, by the way.
No, but it was great. So, I mean, it's really cool that, you know, I get to go in because he's already there. And obviously, we're connected at the hip when it comes to, you know, WFAN. And it'll be the only time he and I are in a room together for broadcasting that I'm aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be cool.
Yeah. Well, Craig's with us. Craig Carton, of course, BT and Sound on the Fan. So you look good. I don't know if you lost a little bit. Did you lose a little weight? You look good.
I've been working out. That's right. I got 265 up on the Smith machine.
Did you?
And then my son did 3.25 and I quit.
There you go.
How's that speedo? We might need it for the Jets this year. Cross that bridge there, Carton. Let's go.
Get
the green speedo.
My body's a little different than it was in 2009.
How about our Jets?
The Jets are for real. Like I said the other day, you know, the guy hadn't played football essentially in 2 years, healthy, right? And he didn't play at all in the preseason. So as much as that San Francisco game hurt, especially now that we've seen what San Francisco's looked like the last 2 weeks, that loss is a little worse.
The Rams,
right now.
Yep.
But to me, that was his preseason. That was getting the rust off. And we saw what we saw again against lesser competition. But they're going to beat Denver this weekend.
Yep.
I think they're going to beat the Vikings in London. And then the game we can't wait for, Jets-Bills week 6, that's the money game, right?
Monday Night Football, Bills are going to be, and right now the Bills look like a big-time problem. How much of the football, is that what you're doing basically in football season, all football?
Yeah, 98%.
And what about off-season? Like, will you do baseball in the postseason?
We do much more basketball than baseball.
Right.
But Fox also has the World Series. So you can always talk Yankees. Like, you have to pick your spots. Like, Shohei, you could always talk about if you want to. The problem with baseball is that It's the Yankees. It's Shohei.
It's a regional sport.
Yeah.
And
right.
Like, just out of curiosity, you know, take yourselves out of talking Mets and Yankees. Who would be the next individual that you would talk about and not lose your audience?
Well, nobody. I would, now, I would like to, like, Witt is somebody that excites me, yeah, but I'm also, I'm a baseball guy.
Couldn't pick him out of a lineup, though, right?
No. I get it. I get it.
And there's great players. That, like, I would say, I remember years ago, there's a guy named Tony Petitti, who used to be a CBS Sports exec. He built MLB Network when it first opened up in Secaucus, right?
Yeah, we were there at the start of last season. Great spot. Taking BP.
He always had a thing where, and I think it remains true to this day, baseball is the best sport at honoring its past and the worst sport about marketing its current stars. And they've never figured out whatever that algorithm is.
Yeah.
They still haven't quite figured out how to make these great players household names.
Is it just because of the way of the sport? Because I'm just trying to think this through in my own mind. Like, I love the NBA, but I love the Knicks. And I get the appeal of Steph Curry or LeBron or whoever, you know, Kobe back in the day. So, all right, so maybe the way baseball is, it doesn't have that star power, just doesn't feel the same as it does in the NBA. But I also feel like the NBA is regional, at least in my mind. Like, if the Knicks aren't good and they weren't for 20-plus years...
You have a visceral connection to other teams and players. You'll hate or love LeBron, Steph, you know, Westbrook, those types of guys.
You'll react to
resonate.
It.
And I think what basketball does, and I don't know how you do it if you're baseball, you know, we live in a much different time than when we grew up. You know, social media is king, right? Basketball lives on social media. Baseball doesn't. Like, there aren't these debates of, you know, Kobe or LeBron, Michael or LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that on Instagram and X or whatever, Twitter, you know, Snapchat when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
No one debates those things.
Well, and by the way, I think a lot of it just goes to the sneaker revolution. You know, a lot of these guys like Mookie Betts and Judge, they have cool spikes, but, and a lot of kids play baseball, obviously, but you're not wearing spikes to the schoolyard. Like, it all starts with, like, the ability to identify the sneaker to the player to the style and the crossover to mainstream.
That's part of it.
That's just an inherent advantage.
Yeah, but I think baseball needs to get younger. You know, because they...
Younger,
you know,
how? The audience? Or, what do you mean, younger?
I think generation. I think the audience.
Yeah.
And I think, how do you make baseball hip and cool to like, your son, who is a great athlete, who is going to play baseball and plays baseball. So he's probably an outlier. And as he gets older, more of an outlier. Kids go to other sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons, right? How do we get someone your son's age, your kids are younger, but your kid's generation, how do we get them to care about baseball?
I got an answer. I have a theory.
Outside of the Yankees or the Mets.
I've got a theory for you. I don't know if it's the right answer, but it's my thought. I think the start to that is to go back to playing two and three sports. The specialization of sports.
I agree.
This is a different topic, and you went through this with your son. We were talking before he came on the air. Good to see Lucky's doing awesome,
right? He's back. He's playing football at Cornell. He's having a great year. Yeah.
I know a lot
of
people.
He's at Cornell, huh?
He's not a Cornell.
Not Cornell. Oh, what'd
you say? He's at the Cornell of the Midwest.
Gornell. What's it called? It's Gornell?
I was like,
it literally is Gornell, right?
No, it's Grinnell. Grinnell.
Oh, did he say Gornell?
Grinnell's famous for, they got that basketball team that only shoots threes.
Yes. Okay.
So you may have read about them. Yeah.
But the point being, I think that now, you know, when you play one sport, and a lot of kids do this, I disagree with that. I don't let my kids do that. You know,
I
know you're with me on that. But I think you get those kids to stick with baseball if they don't have to leave baseball. See, a lot of coaches, whether it's like a great Catholic school or a public powerhouse, they're like, you're not playing three sports. You don't have time.
And I think that's to the detriment of the kids.
So do I.
Yeah, I think when you get to 16, if you want to pick a sport that you love or that you're best at and focus on that.
For college.
I'm down with it.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
But I think from 8 to 16.
Play it all.
You got to have your kids. And I tell you, especially in baseball, I'm sure you live this. This year-round stuff, you got to put it to an end.
I have.
Your kids should not play baseball 12 months out of the year. Now, in Florida, maybe it's different.
No, it shouldn't be, because the human body's not different down in Florida. No kid who's 9 or 10 or pre-puberty should be throwing max velo in the month of November. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I do have a baseball question for you.
Yes.
I know, because you run hot and cold. You're crazy with these Mets. One day I tune in, it's like, we're going to the World Series. The next day, they're the worst team in baseball. I love Uncle Steve. I hate Steve. Yeah. Stern sucks. Stern's a strength. I remember listening to you guys in April. Lindor's the biggest bust the Mets have ever had. That was an MVP candidate, right?
That may have been my take. I think I may have said he should stop hitting lefty. Somebody said that on the show.
It was April 9th. What's your question? Aaron Judge will never earn that money.
You know how it is, dude. What's your question? You said you had a question.
Is this the best opportunity since 2000 for the Subway Series?
Oh, no doubt. We've thrown that out there. We haven't gone overboard with it. Hey, first of all, how rare is it that both the Yanks and the Mets are still playing? You start with that just based on the percentages. So, boom, you've got a shot. Now, the Mets aren't officially there yet. I believe they will be. It's a very imperfect landscape. Every team's got problems. Why not?
Yeah, now,
we'll beat you guys again.
Did you appreciate the fan reaction to Pete? Knowing that it might be the last home game, or you not like that?
We were there Friday night, so I myself was standing up and cheering for Pete. He came up with the bases loaded in a spot to try to get them back in the game. And everybody on their feet, Pete, Alonso. Obviously, he struck out. It carried on all weekend long. He didn't have a good series. So I think the fans did the right thing trying to get him going.
But
he has not earned that this year. He's earned that in the past. And to me, it shouldn't be about him.
Do you think Pete Alonso will regret turning down the contract that you guys don't know about that was offered to him at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, we said that.
What do you mean that we don't know about it?
To the dollar?
Well, honestly, what happened was, I believe that I said
look
it first
year. Look at
this
guy here. You're an ass.
Look
at him trying to get this that you guys aren't aware of. Like, we're going to let that slide. Well, are you talking about the one that's 157? Which one are you talking about?
Joel Sherman reported it.
Well, which one?
After I brought it up on the air.
Everybody had it.
I don't know if you had it.
Come on, Craig.
We brought it up here.
A year ago.
Right, no. It was this season. And then I didn't have the details of the offer exactly, but I said that he was offered a contract and turned it down.
Yes.
I didn't know if it was news or not. I just know that
it was a lot of money.
It was told to me. He's not getting that again.
So he's got to regret it, right?
I would think so.
I wouldn't give him that crazy money. By the way, just as a quick aside, then I have a question for you. So I'm driving home about a month or so ago, and I see on my phone Craig Carton. Now, we text here and there.
Yeah.
We don't talk on the phone. We text, though. Yeah, here and there, just to stay in touch. What's this guy call me? I see Craig. I'm like, hey, maybe it's a business opportunity. Make some money. Right. Craig's usually got some good ideas.
Never know.
Calls me. Where you guys were at a beach, at a concert?
Oh, that thing.
Bumped into my buddy Andy. Like,
I've been to a friend of his.
You can barely speak, you guys.
Neither one of us were feeling any pain to be very frank about the situation. Yeah, my wife's got some friends that she grew up with who are in a band. And the band plays at a place called Maynard's. It's down in, like, Ventnor Market, which is just south of Atlantic City. So I got, you got to come. You got to.
You got pulled into it.
So I'm kind of like drinking by myself, waiting for this band to quit playing bad covers of Led Zeppelin. And I bump into your buddy, who comes up, this larger-than-life guy, like loud, obnoxious,
6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, and he's like, I don't want to be here either. And we start drinking together, and we FaceTime to your boy.
Ah, there you go. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, Craig Carton in studio. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. What'd you think of BT in the Yankee booth?
I didn't hear. I heard the first game.
My problem with it was
I saw the picture of you. Mm. In the booth.
It's funny, I didn't get a text congratulating me.
You did a great job.
I texted you. I texted you. I said, hey.
Did he just say Jew?
No.
No, I said I texted you. I texted
Jew?
I texted you.
I was upset that you wore a jacket and tie, a suit. It really bothered me.
That you weren't?
No, that he did. You wore a suit.
What, you think I was like,
you're
going a little
a
bit too.
Suit guy.
I saw the outfit
you had on the night before that was giving you a lot of love for.
Oh, yeah.
You're
kind of
hip and cool. You're fist bumping guys you don't know. The whole thing.
Well, so you are keeping tabs on us, I see.
And then you put on a suit.
That's the Yankees, baby.
No, just do a good job.
I don't want to look like you in the booth. So listen. So this guy's doing it. He does the whole series, and I text him. This is the kind of guy that I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I was going to my son's game, and I had to go do something for him. We left. I'm like, dude, I have you on. You sound good. But, you know, I think he gets back to me a day and a half later, and I knew you were probably getting inundated with stuff. So I'm not the guy who sends a text and needs the response. But I said, let you know I'm rooting for
you. Very kind of you.
Evidently not enough to reciprocate it, because then it's my turn, and I'm like, I don't keep a scoreboard.
I just did.
I'm like, I want to see if Carton. I want to see if Craig, who I always say is a good guy.
Good dude, I stick up for.
I like Craig, and I got Craig's back.
Yes.
Is Craig sincerely happy for me that I'm doing these Yankees? Crickets.
Yo,
nothing. Not a text.
Hold on,
nothing.
That's not fair to say. Nothing. That's not fair to say.
But it's accurate to say.
I mean, I think you should go back and look at your text messages. Maybe you got inundated and didn't see the text that I sent.
Right now.
Is that possible, sir?
It is.
I believe that's certainly possible.
No, it's not.
What happened? What's that text?
He's texting me right now. Great job with the Yankees.
Now, if I may promote something. All right, it's not where I came in. I came just to see you guys. But
yeah.
On November 20th, I know it's a long way away and all that.
Not that long.
You guys may remember a number of years ago, we lost an NYPD detective named Joseph Lem.
Oh, yeah.
He was known as the Superman of NYPD cops. Did several tours in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, lost his life, not here, but lost his life in Afghanistan. I became very close with the Lem family. We've done a bunch of charity events, as you guys know, for them. Well, we're going to do a comedy event at Gotham Comedy Club on November 20th. Obviously, love you guys to come if you can. And every ticket sold, 100% of all the revenue goes to the foundation that his wife started on behalf of his children. So if you have, it's a Wednesday night.
Yes.
It's not competing against any sporting event or Thursday night football. I would love you guys to come as our guests. And if you could go out there and just go to GothamComedyClub.com. It's November 20th. It's like $30 a ticket,
mm-hmm.
So easy to get into. We've great comics already lined up. It's going to be a special night to honor the memory of Joseph Lem.
Well, we played the softball game two years ago.
That's right.
And let's just be honest, we kicked the crap out of your team, and then you lured us into three more games, and that's when we all started pulling hamstrings.
Yeah. He was too busy to come, so I can tell you the story. We were getting our asses kicked, and I go, new game!
Yeah, new game! Yeah, that was the foundation
that
we played for.
Them as well.
It's
a
great endeavor, absolutely.
I always wanted this. I know you got to take a break.
I got one more for you.
It'll be okay. Right. How come one of the great aspects of WFAN, right, historically, was we had a softball team.
Yeah.
There was a day back when I interned here in 88, there was a basketball team.
Yes.
Maybe you put that to the side. I respect that. Who wants to play hoops and whatever? But how is it that none of yous play softball anymore? Well, that kills me.
Well, I had the answer, I think, for the show down the hall. I think they hate playing for Boomer.
Yes.
I don't think that they enjoy
it. That is true.
It.
He's tough to play for. He's a pain in the ass. But he loves playing.
I think they love playing golf. I mean, at least that's what I hear him talk about all the time. It's more so than the softball.
But you're not playing golf with the audience?
I'm just saying. I don't think they want to play softball. I think they want to play golf.
I have no problem with golf. Like, I'm a 3 handicap.
Yeah, okay. Where were you playing recently? I saw some video of you.
I played Trump, Due Process. I played Trump Bedminster, and I love this. I par 3 at Trump Bedminster.
Oh,
I'm playing my son, right?
Okay.
So I put out the video.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's all good. The next 50 text or your tweets. F you. Yo, I can't believe you support Trump.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't playing with Trump. I didn't pay to play.
Yeah.
I just played on a man's golf course.
Yeah, yeah.
And people got politicized.
I played there once.
That's crazy.
It's an awesome course.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Who do you miss more, Boomer or Evan?
Well, that's a good question. Boomer.
Yeah,
Boomer.
You got to say Boomer.
It's a good question. A half second later, Boomer.
I'll say this. I still regret the fact, I don't know if Boomer does or not, where, you know, like Mike and Chris have done shows together since, or segments together. Right now, we broke up, my fault, my doing. I take full ownership of that. And it's a long time ago, now it's 7 years ago, since we did our last show together. But how is it that we've gone 7 years, and at no point did anyone say, you know what might be fun? Let's do one more show.
It's too soon. That's why.
I think 7 years?
Well, yeah. Because somebody else is in the spot.
No,
yeah.
No,
I mean,
disrespect
come on. He's got a
partner.
He's moved on.
He has moved on.
He doesn't need you.
Doesn't need me.
Well, I know that's got to hurt you. Sometimes I think
it
about
hurts
this.
To my core.
Because you obviously it's a different show. You built that. You built that thing. Cartman,
yeah, I built the damn
Carter.
Thing. You think Jerry Reck would be employed if it wasn't for me?
Oh, God, here we go.
You think Al Dukes would still be a producer if it wasn't
Al
for me?
Dukes. Somebody asked me recently, Craig, and I mean this, right? Somebody, and then you can go Imus because there's so many different. You can go Chernoff. There's so many different Hollander. A lot of different ways to go. Somebody asked me. I was doing a podcast, the Mount Rushmore of FAM.
Yeah,
I said Mike and Chris. I said you and Boomer.
Thank you.
That was my answer.
I agree 100%.
I gotta put
he doesn't agree
or
with
well, the
that
question is,
my
do
answer.
You put like so? Mike did a show solo. So do you put Mike and the Mad
no,
as
Mike
one?
No, Mike solo was not
saying?
As good as Mike and Chris.
Well,
and Mike.
So the Mount Rushmore's got to be four.
No, I'm saying, but do you count, like, would Boomer and Carton be one?
Well, if I make it that way,
I like that idea.
So Mike and Chris are one, Boomer and Carton are two, BT and Sal, they're three, Tony Page is four.
Yeah, I would
Tony Page. I've got to get the schmooze to Joe B.
I would put Mike and Chris. Like, see, to me, I'm just not a morning show guy. I think Boomer's got to be on there, though. If you take an individual, Boomer did it with you.
Well, he's done the longest morning show here, right. And that includes
17 years.
Well, my point was, if you're a morning show guy, how could you not put Imus, who essentially did help build the fam? Like, yeah. I'm not an Imus guy.
Yeah, I think if you did it, with all due respect to you guys, and I've told you many times.
Oh, no, we're not even in the consideration.
But I've told you many times, I think it's the best midday show the station's had.
Is good for me because you also said I was the best overnight host the station's
had.
You are. I'm in two good categories.
I'm also the guy that told Mark Melusis he was better at TV than radio.
Yeah.
I was drunk when I did it, but I did do it on the air.
I
wasn't
that
drunk, but I'd come in from gambling.
I remember.
It was like
that.
four in the morning. I couldn't go to bed.
Yeah.
And Moose was here. And it's when I feel bad about it. I love Moose. Mike had announced, or he was leaving again. And Melusis wanted to be considered for the job. And I came in without much sleep, and I said, no. He goes, what do you mean no? I go, you're not the guy. You're not going to get the job.
Come on.
But I love you on TV. I think you're great on TV, and I do.
He's had a nice career on TV as well.
Yeah, he's doing well
on Channel 11. He's great at it.
Moose's a good guy.
And he's one of the greatest guys I've met in this business.
I miss Moose,
but I felt so bad about that because I was a douche.
Did you win that night, or were you coming off a rough night? Is that why?
I was pissed that I had to leave.
Gotcha.
So give me
I hate to say this, but just show you like how bad gambling addiction can be. I lived here in Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I used to get in the building at 4 o'clock in the morning for the 6 o'clock show. And there were a couple nights, and I'm not proud of this. I'm just sharing you the depths of compulsive gambling. I got in a car. I drove to the Poconos at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I can show you the proof of this. And I wagered, I played blackjack for 7 minutes. 7 minutes. I won a bunch of money, numbers irrelevant, got back in the car and drove back here to do the show and walked in at about 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So I drove essentially 3 hours. I played blackjack and I have the surveillance report from it. I played blackjack for 7 minutes, got back in the car and drove an hour and a half back.
How much was each hand? Thousands?
$10,000.
Each hand?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, how are you doing that? Yeah, you're doing an entertaining show 4 hours a day.
I was mentally the king of compartmentalizing.
It's a mental disaster thinking about that.
Eventually, yeah.
Did you do online gambling? Because it would have been easier.
Very little. Okay. Very little at the end.
I never trusted that stuff anyway.
No, because I figured however they wrote the program, I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote
the program at the casino, we're going to lose too at the end of the day.
Lose that too.
I think I have to dock you for that from the Mount Rushmore.
That doesn't change.
That's insane.
You should make me know
Who would you have on yours?
Oh, so, I mean, am I allowed to say Mean Boomer?
Of course.
I think when you look at the history of FAN, Imus has to be there. And what people don't remember the story, if Imus doesn't get the morning show, the fan never exists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It never would have survived that
for
next
all the
year.
Money. Yep. Imus
right?
won.
Imus changed the radio station and made the station successful.
Mike and Chris are
you
up
have
there.
To put Mike and Chris as a duo.
Yep.
In there, Mike and the Mad
so
Dog.
That's number two that's for you because you put them as a duo.
Well,
That's two. So you got two more slots. You and Boomer.
I think me and Boomer belong on that list.
I agree.
And then the question is
Chernoff?
Summers or Joe B.
Chernoff wasn't on air, though.
All right.
I'm only going on air.
I got you.
So then the question becomes, do you go based on longevity, Steve Summers?
No, you go based on impact.
Summers has to, right? He's right? Steve Summers, WFAN.
You go based on impact.
Yeah, so I think Steve Summers probably had a greater impact than he gets credit for. Captain Midnight, all that.
Of course.
And was, to me, like I think the biggest mistake of his career was leaving overnights. Some guys are built for overnights. Like, I think Scott Farrell leaving nights was a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, he's the perfect nighttime guy.
What you're saying.
And
Smooth over Joe B?
Yeah, I probably would. He was there before Joe was.
I mean, I could see it.
Mike and Chris, Boomer, Summers, and I guess if I'm not putting two together.
Yeah.
I mean, then I would go Mike, Dog, Boomer, Summers. If I do put two together, Imus has to probably be on it.
Imus has to be on the list. And I'm not an Imus guy.
Me neither.
I was a Stern guy.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the history of the radio station, Imus was the face of the station, not no Mike question. And Chris.
No, that's fair. Hey, before you go.
Yeah.
Talk to Sid. He came in one day. I'll never forget it, dude. I almost like peed myself. I
with
was in
gun?
The studio.
Yeah.
And he walks in there. No, he's got the cowboy hat and his duffel bag and his leather jacket. How do I talk to Sid? He was asking me how he talked to Sid in the studio and talk back. And I was like, I don't know, Mr. Imus. And he just looked at me in disgust and figured
did
it out.
Did he point his gun at you?
Yeah, no, I heard that, though, he did to others. He didn't do that to me.
God, I'm not trying to
heard that story. So when Boom and I first started, we were in Astoria.
He was
tough. We had, the original Mike and Chris office was a closet. All right? So then there, I guess Chris was about to leave. I think it was. But Imus is gone. So they were going to give me and Boomer his office. Now, we knew nothing about it. We were brand new. And we're just happy to be here. Ah, boy, Mike got in on that real quick.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Got the closet.
Well, listen, man, we could do this all day. Literally, Craig, you know radio. So when I say 10 seconds, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Listen. You jumped into the Yankee stuff. You gotta be rooting for these Mets. Come on, man.
Oh, I want to see a Subway Series.
No, I know.
Yeah,
but
and I'll say this: you're
rooting for the Mets.
Forget about the Yankees. Are Mets fans, not Yankee fans.
I know
fans.
They are.
So I live in a Mets household.
What are you?
Like I grew up a Mets fan.
What are you now?
I've become a fake Yankee fan.
Or what are you now?
I mean, I gotta be honest. I think I lean more Yankee now.
What? You're a
yeah.
You know
look
what he
at
is?
This guy.
You know what he is?
I'm a fake fan.
He's a fraud.
He's a Mets fan
for Yankees.
Thank you.
Good right-handed. Subway Series, Yankees in 7.
Hey, when you come back, just make sure it's not my job. Actually, that's on me. I'm going to make sure
I'll see you in about 13 months.
BT and Sal, the fan, will come back. We'll have more of your calls. We'll reset, hit you with the crowd topic of the day for real without the music this time. Have some Yankees tickets to give away as well. And we have Brian Baldinger when we come back.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are now joined by Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day, be delicious. Baldy, welcome back to the show here, BT and Sal. And how about a win for Big Blue? What'd you see breaking down the film from the Giants' performance, specifically defensively, Baldy? I'd be curious to get your take there in Cleveland on Sunday.
Oh, man, they made life tough on Deshaun Watson. I mean, they sacked him 8 times. They hit him 15 times. They never stopped coming. I thought it was a great game called by Shane Bowen, the new defensive coordinator. Deshaun Watson had struggled against pressure this year. And, whether it was Dexter Lawrence or Brian Burns getting the sack fumble or whether it was Jason Pinnock, I mean, they were coming after him relentlessly. And they played their best defensive game that they played in years, to be honest with you. That was impressive what they did. And you started to see some of the talent. You know, whether it was Ojulari or Burns or Thibodeau or Dexter Lawrence or Chapman. I mean, the front 7 played very, very well. And it was just relentless pressure on Cleveland and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and Boldy, I thought this was going to be their identity this year. So, you know, taken from that Browns game, you know, week into Thursday, Dallas, so on and so forth, how transferable is this? Is this what the Giants are going to become?
Well, it's transferable. I mean, it's week to week, but, you're going to see Dak Prescott on a short week, and that offense runs through C.D. Lamb. And so that's who they're looking for almost every single route. They're not a very good running team right now, just the way Cleveland is it. But I wouldn't dismiss it. They've got a lot of young guys playing on the offensive line. But I would say that much of what we saw last Sunday in Cleveland, I think we could see a lot of it this weekend. This Thursday against Dallas, because if they can't stop it and if they can't beat it, then they're going to keep coming after you with it.
What'd you think of Daniel Jones' performance, Baldy?
I thought it was really solid, really solid. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over. I thought the offense made a lot of sense. He was very decisive. He's got a star player in Malik Nabers, but and he got the ball to him for the 2 touchdowns and a big jump ball on the outside. But I thought getting the ball, whether it was to Slayton on 3rd down or to Wandale in a number of ways or screening it to Singletary, I thought he looked the best he's looked in a long time on Sunday. It's not perfect, by any stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's seeing the field well. He made good, quick, decisive decisions, and it was good. It was efficient for him.
Hey, Brian, it's easy to say that Neighbors looks the part. I mean, we all see that. In terms of the film, you know, is it body control? Like, what's his best characteristic, do you think?
He's just a football player. You know, like that, you know, you look at that 4th and 1 at their own 43-yard line, down 7-0. It's a gamble. But, you know, he's in a bunch formation on the left side, and he comes on a little fly sweep right there. Cleveland's got 11 guys in the line of scrimmage, and he outruns them all. Like, he just knew where he had to get to for the sticks. He's just, you know, you can say, okay, you know, Odell was here, and he had tremendous first-step quickness, and he could separate. And Malik could do all that, but he's just he's a blocker. He catches everything with his hands. Quarterbacks love that. He looks it into his hands. He's fundamentally sound. He runs crisp routes. And a guy, I think if you put him at running back, he'd be a good running back. I think if you played him at linebacker, I think he'd be a hell of a linebacker. Like, he's just a football player.
You know, Baldy, you mentioned Kayvon Thibodeau before, and we know it was a great Giants defensive effort. If I watch Burns, I look at him and say, man, this guy plays with ferocity. He's got elite speed. There are certain things that jump out at him, which you know why he has success as being one of the elite pass rushers in the league. What do you see from Thibodeau? Just from me personally, I don't know if I see that speed or the physical dominance. What do you see from Thibodeau that gives him the potential to be a great edge rusher?
Well, I mean, he's different. He's different than Brian. He's different than a lot of guys in this league. He's very smooth. He's not the most physical guy. He's not the biggest guy. He doesn't, you know, he's not going to run guys over, but he's super smooth. He's elusive. That's kind of his game right now. He's long, but, you know, he's not a guy that he's got tremendous power at the point of attack. He's not going to a big speed to power guy. And so that's kind of his game. It's, I don't want to use finesse because that makes it sound like he's soft. He's not soft, but he's a finesse player.
So I want to get something on the Jets, but before we transition to them, obviously a massive game for the Giants to make a statement, yep. And we're going to start, you know, really amping up the intensity for this game as we get deeper into the week. Now, it's very rare that you hear team leaders, one on each side of the ball, kind of pull back the curtain the way Dak and Parsons did. For the Cowboys, in terms of film and just being a pro, I mean, that's basic stuff. They aired it out. Where's Dallas going the rest of the way here? It looks like they could either fracture or just take off and unify. What do you anticipate?
Well, I mean, this is what happens when you lose 2 games in a row and you play for the Cowboys. They play horrible. They play, you know, they're not sound against the run at all. They don't understand what run fits are. They're way out of position. I mean, Baltimore ran for 260 yards against them. They could have run for more if they wanted to. They didn't have any answer for anything that they did, which is, I mean, Lamar's been running that read option play since he was in Pompano Beach, Florida in high school. Like, it's the same play, and they had no idea how to stop it. They went right down the field and ran it right down their throats. And so right now they're at a crossroads. Like, they've got to go on a short week and win this game and get back to 500, get back in the race. If they come to New York and New York hands it to them, I mean, you're going to see that team splinter quickly because the owner doesn't really know how to handle it. They're young in a lot of spots. I played for the Cowboys, guys, for 60 years. They always had a stud running back. I don't care if it was Dorsett or whether it was Emmitt Smith. They don't have that right now. And it's weird. Like, the Cowboys always had DeMarco Murray. Like, they've always had great running backs. Zeke for 5 years was great. They don't have that right now. And so it's really Dak and CeeDee Lamb. If they're not connecting, they look like they struggle a lot.
BT and Sal on the Fan, Brian Baldinger joining us. Inside the calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Well, the Jets got things started, Baldy, in Week 3 on Thursday night, dismantling the Patriots. What have you seen here from the Jets so far in 3 weeks? Is it encouraging that you think that they could get better and maybe even that defense be a more dominant defense moving forward?
Well, it can be, especially if they get C.J. Mosley back and D.J. Reed healthy. You know, get some of those players back. They're not going to get Jermaine back, but they got some young players that are coming on defensively. But offensively, I mean, a couple things were really encouraging. One was the movement of Aaron Rodgers because he got chased quite a bit against the Patriots, and he was able to escape every single time and make good decisions. When they convert third downs and they stay on the field, you can see what happens when you get Breece Hall and Braylon Allen going with the 1-2 punch. They're a very good tandem of backs. And I think Breece Hall is close, just like Saquon did last week and broke that 65-yarder. Breece Hall is going to do the same thing. It's going to happen here because he's just that explosive. You just got to keep giving him the touches and get him the rhythm. But right now you're seeing Michael Williams develop. You're seeing Lazard, Garrett Wilson. You saw Tyler Conklin was the go-to guy in a game against. So you're seeing the offense stay on the field. And when they stay on the field, Aaron Rodgers knows exactly what he's looking at. He's hard to fool, and the arm is still elite. And so there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, even with Denver coming to town, who played their best football in Tampa this past weekend.
Yeah, his mobility jumped out to me as well. We all know he could throw with his eyes shut through a keyhole, but he was downright bouncy. You know, and the thought here, Baldy, was that, and I understand why, you rupture the Achilles, you're 40, probably not going to be the same guy. Is there a chance, though, that, you know, by letting his body rest for essentially an entire year and regenerate, that he might come back and even be maybe a little fresher this year and a little more athletic than he was his last year in Green Bay?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's certainly a plausible explanation for why he looks fresh and why he's able to elude 23-year-old guys like Keon White last week and run away from him, not just elude him, but run away from him and make one play after another, whether he's going to his right or going to his left. And I think it might even be surprising him because you can't really practice that stuff. You want to be able to explode, but you don't know until you have to. And so I think some of it is probably when he watches it, he's probably surprised himself a little bit by what he's able to do because he looks every bit as mobile and elusive as he did 3 years ago when he was, you know, the best in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I asked. So we all know Tyron Smith. We've all seen him play a lot of big games for Dallas. In the trenches, on the film, the continuity with the new offensive lineman, what are you seeing?
Well, he struggled a little bit. Aaron Rodgers helped him out. You know, he got beat on the edge a bit. Like, he's not – the foot quickness isn't what it might once was. If he gets his hands on you, it's over. Like, he's got the biggest set of baseball mitts I've ever seen on a football player. When he gets his hands on you, it's over. But if he doesn't, I mean, I've seen guys with some speed now turn the corner on him. So you got to be a little concerned. You got to be thinking about that. But he's still, like, when he gets his hands on you and drive blocking, he's still very good. Simpson, been a good pickup. Vera Tucker played very well. Tippmann's coming on. It was good seeing Fashanu out there at right tackle at the end of that game. Because, you know, eventually he needs to get out there. And so I think they got some depth that they haven't had. But I would be a little concerned about Tyron right now against elite pass rushers. Especially if Mike is coming to town.
Sorry, Baldy. We were just joined by Craig Carton in studio. Is it true that you can never beat him in ping pong and tennis?
Well, that's not true. I mean, Craig Carton, I spanked him at the Super Bowl one year. Like, is that not on film somewhere?
Yeah, Craig said, make sure when you talk to Baldy, you tell him that he was never able to beat me at ping pong or tennis, so I wanted to bring it up to you.
We had battles. We had our battles back in the day when he was here in Philadelphia. He won some, but I know I've got some. I know I've taken some money from him. Let me just say that.
Oh, you know? No. He was gambling on that too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. He was, oh, God.
I mean, look, we were playing for matchsticks back then, you know, and pennies, so it wasn't anything big.
Yeah, I mean, in Craig's mind, he's never lost at anything. Was this after he retired from the Phillies minor league team or right before as a third baseman?
Well, I mean, you know, Craig does his thing, man. He can chat with the best of them.
Did you see Baldy speaking of Philadelphia? What did you think of the decisions again Sirianni made? I know they beat the Saints, but still, I mean, I just look at the Eagles as a poorly coached team. What do you think of Philadelphia, where they're at through 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, he came out and said that, you know, some of those calls on fourth down were his calls. Like, I think sometimes, you know, these analytics are just confusing to coaches. Like, sometimes it's just good to punt. Sometimes it's good to kick a field goal and take the points, especially early in the game. Playing a good team on the road in a, you know, I was there on Sunday in Louisiana at Superdome. Like, sometimes you should just do the right thing. And I know the analytics has changed everything in every sport. Three-point shots, home runs. Football, there's nothing wrong in the first quarter kicking field goals. It just isn't. And so they passed up a lot of points. And then what happens is you end up chasing those points. And it ends up almost costing you. Thank goodness, you know, they made two huge plays, Saquon, along with Dallas Goedert. They made two huge plays to win the game. But otherwise, Nick Sirianni is really on the griddle today in Philadelphia.
much to my partner's happiness. He can't stand him. All right, so, Baldy, based on the records here, give me a bad team that you still believe in and a good team that you're not buying.
Well, I still believe that Cincinnati can be a good team. I mean, Joe Burrow is as good as there is in his business. They put up 33. It wasn't enough. I think they're 0-3, but I still think they could be a good team. Look, the Steelers, if you give up 26 points in three games, you should be 3-0. But the offense, the only exciting thing about watching that offense is watching the rookie center play. Like, he has more pancake blocks than they've scored points so far this year. Like, that's the best part of the offense for me.
What do you think what do you think here Thursday night, Baldy? Give us a prediction for the Giants-Cowboys game, and then even for Sunday if you want Jets-Broncos.
Well, I mean, look, Mike is coming to town. He's an elite player. If you let him ruin the game, he will. So the best thing to combat Dallas and Micah and their speed is to run the ball basically right at him. That's what the last two opponents have done to him, and they haven't been able to stop it. So if the Giants can get any kind of a running game going, and you can nullify Micah a little bit, I give the Giants, because I think defensively, look, I know in the back end, there's still question marks. And outside, some corner positions, there's some question marks. But that defensive front is very good. I haven't seen anybody block Dexter Lawrence yet. So I think this could be a real close game. They get it to the fourth quarter. I think the Giants have a fighter's chance to win the game.
What about Jets-Broncos?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to fool around this game. Denver's got a quality defense. I'm sure they'll put Sertan on Garrett Wilson and take their chances in other places. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to carve them up, and I think the Jets get their third win and their best win so far.
Thanks, Baldy. We appreciate it.
Yep, my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Yep, looking forward to it as always. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. When we come back, I think we're going to actually have a segment or two without a guest on the line or in studio here.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.